Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Schoerlein.
Welcome back to the Isles Faithful Podcast. I am your host, as always, Michael Schoerlein, and this is episode 29. 29, the number 29, Brock Nelson. Today is Saturday, March 30th, 2019. And today is the day that the Islanders could clinch a postseason berth for the first time in three seasons. Pretty exciting. We play Buffalo. Couldn't have worked out any better. Hopefully it's not going to be one of those clunkers of a game where Buffalo is going to come out and spank us. They have nothing to play for. They're just trying to finish out their season. Some guys playing for contracts. They're still a pretty dangerous team. Obviously they have some scoring depth, and you never know what's going to happen. Hopefully the Islanders come out and seal the deal this afternoon, or this evening rather. I will actually be in attendance tonight. Now that I'm home from vacation, I convinced my wife that we should go because it's a pretty important game. How about that game the other night? That was fantastic, wasn't it? I know I yelled like a lunatic from the couch. I woke up half the house at 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night there. Came from behind to win. Was unexpected there in Winnipeg. Was a great game. Didn't start very well. I know I tweeted some stupid things early in the night, one of which I deleted. I had said season's over. I know that's not really like me. I was just frustrated. But they came from behind. Biggest game of the season. Probably the best 40 minutes of hockey we've seen them play in quite some time. While I was away in Florida, I missed a couple of games. The Islanders had a shutout. Robin Lehner looked fantastic. Over the weekend on Sunday against, what was that? That was Arizona. Arizona's a nice, quick team, too, so it was a good effort. Around that, the Islanders had three donuts, unfortunately, which not very good. But, you know, again, this team has shown it struggled to score at times. They may be stingy defensively, but when there's some kinks in the armor, you know, you never know what's going to happen if they can't score, especially on the power play. There was a great article the other day on The Athletic that said, you know, and this is prior to the game the other night where they won in Winnipeg because they did score a power play goal. But the Isles were 7-for-67 on the power play since February 1st. 7-for-67. That's ridiculous. You cannot have that. And I know I have blasted the power play here on the Isles Faithful Podcast the entire season. And it's something that, still, to this day, it really bothers me. A couple of games ago, the Islanders started having two guys below the goal line. It looked like an inverted umbrella, I had said, which is the complete opposite of what an umbrella should be. You should have the play typically would be three guys high, you know, and two guys down low towards the slot area. You have the bumper, you have the guy out in front of the net. It looks like an umbrella if you look at it on a diagram. But it was like an upside-down umbrella that got blown down the street. Bad. I don't understand the logic there. I mean, they want to go east-west, I guess, to move the puck around. And they're in a safer spot because all the coverage is going to be out front. But it just plays into the fact of they're just moving it around the perimeter. And I've brought this up to Arthur Staple even last episode, episode 28. I said, teams are going to be content with the Islanders passing around the perimeter the whole entire power play. Go ahead. You want to shoot from non-dangerous angles, low-scoring angles? Be my guest. We're going to clog the center of the ice, pass it around. We're going to block a pass because we know you're going to pass back out to the point. And we're going to block shots. We're going to clog lanes. But we didn't see that the other night. They managed to get the puck to the front of the net. Anders Lee tipped that point shot. Boom, power play goal. It was a 5-on-3. We saw them fail how many times over the last couple of games? Against Philly, I believe we had 2 5-on-3s, if I'm not mistaken. So good to see them finally go. And then the article went on to say, through 77 games, the Islanders' power play is operating at just 14.5%, which ranks 29th in the league. Only Nashville and Montreal have had less success at converting chances. In power play situations, the Islanders have generated offense at a rate of 88.45 shot attempts per 60, which also ranks 29th in the league, ahead of only Detroit and Ottawa. So you look at stuff like that and all the fancy stats, and they're not nearly generating the shots that they should. If they are, they're not getting through, or like I had previously mentioned, they're from low dangerous scoring areas. And we've seen that over the last couple of games where they'd be shooting from wide out on the wing. You know, the goaltender is going to be over there hugging the post. They're not going east and west in the front through the Royal Road, so to speak, there in the slot area. So we've seen some changes Barry Trotz has implemented here down the stretch, and it seemed to work the other night against Winnipeg. Winnipeg is a very tough team to play against. They're one of the powerhouses in the West. They were favorited prior to the trade deadline to be a cup contender out in the West. They're just big, strong bodies, and I know Byfuglien has been hurt, which if he was in the lineup the other night, it might have been a different story there late game. But how about that play by Anthony Beauvillier? He ducks under a check. And, you know, the Winnipeg coach talked about this in the post game. It was a breakdown defensively. But what he didn't really mention was the fact that Beauvillier got under the check, and the player who went to go and hit him was dazed. Beauvillier gets the puck, rims it around, and that's when, I believe, was it the Cizikas goal or the first Eberle goal or this, whatever it was. It was the game-tying goal or whatever the momentum swing was there. I don't remember off the top of my head. But without Anthony Beauvillier making that play smartly to get under and accepting the pass, not the pass, but getting the puck for the turnover, that whole play was contingent on his little move there. So that was fantastic to see. He might not have chipped in on the score sheet, really, so to speak. And I know everyone's been kind of hammering him. He's very streaky. But it was good to see some hard work, and the Islanders worked hard the whole entire game. Speaking of Casey Cizikas, the 20th of the season for him. How amazing is that? I had joked a couple of days ago on Twitter, I think what we should do as a fan base is now, for the remaining 4 or 5 games here throughout the season, or the rest of the season, every goal he gets over 20 should be the amount that we as fans donate to a charity of his choice. So let's make that happen. We'll get that trending. Hopefully we can get that done. I think it would be pretty cool. He's having a banner year. And if you really think about it, he, for all intents and purposes, is going to be Barry Trotz's new Tom Wilson. He may not be the dirty player that Tom Wilson is. And I know nobody's really going to like to hear this, but Tom Wilson, minus the dirtiness, is a hell of a hockey player. He's the type of guy you hate to play against. But if he was on your team, aside from the fact that he hurts you in certain situations, both physically and, you know, on the roster with a spot that he, you know, he keeps getting suspended, he's really turned Casey's game around. And Casey's been the type of guy who's an energy guy, maybe not utilized the right way under previous regimes, but I'm happy to see him finally break out and have the year that he is. He has looked great. I've said this all year. The skating, he has come around. He's always been a great skater, but he looks like he's healthy. He's doing really well. He's got that dad strength like Bailey, I guess you can say. Same for Clutterbuck and Martin. Those three, oh my God, all year, back to the way that they were, the Bash brothers, the best fourth line in hockey. I'm just so happy they go out there and they get things done. They make their opponents have a tough time. Banging bodies, good on the forecheck, get in there, cause turnovers, really just set the tone for the rest of the guys. March to the beat of their drum. That's what you need, especially coming down the stretch here and into the playoffs. You need those energy guys to kind of go out there and be the metronome if you're making music. You know, you set the tone based on them. So we should call them the metronome, which I have turned off right now as I'm recording, thankfully, because you guys would be annoyed. So what else can you say? Obviously, we've struggled. They've caused us some stress here. Every day, it's up and it's down. It's up and it's down. It's up and it's down. But the Islanders, for all intents and purposes, like we've said all year, they have not lost more than 3 games in regulation. They may have a clunker or two, but they bounce back. They always respond. I don't know what Barry tends to say to them behind closed doors, but they come out and they respond. And we need that type of response today. We did have that big win the other night in Winnipeg, but tonight is one of the most important games for them. They control their own destiny for once. How many times over the last couple of seasons have the Islanders had to rely on the schedules of other teams around them or teams in the West or teams that are out of it to do their dirty work for them? Tonight is the first time in a long time, I think since like 2002 or 2003, that the Islanders can come out on their own terms on home ice back at the Coliseum and secure a playoff spot on home ice on their own terms. That is just huge. And that is testament to the job that Barry Trotz has done here. I know I'm happy. That's why I decided to buy tickets last minute the other night. I want to see this in person. The Coliseum is going to be off the charts loud again. Maybe not as loud as it was against Toronto. And you know who's here on Monday? That's right. April 1st, Toronto. John Tavares is coming back. And you know what? I'm going to be there for that game as well. I've like waited all year long for these big games. It's really hard for me to get there. It just seems the opportunities here late season have been popping up for me to attend, and I'm going to jump at them here, especially moving into the playoffs, because I have not missed a home Islanders playoff game since 2002-2003. So we're talking, what, 15 years of playoff hockey I've been there for, and even before that. So I'm excited. You could obviously tell by the tone of my voice. I'm coming off the high of vacation. We had a great time. I really wanted to record earlier in the week. I could not have the time to get it done. Unfortunately, obviously, work comes first, and I've been busy because I missed a couple of days there. So here we are. We're going to continue to roll on. The Islanders meetup groups are just growing ridiculous. There's one in Boston now. I believe there was one that popped up in Queens or something. Those guys continue to have awesome events and tailgates. I believe there's going to be one down in Tampa tonight, if I'm not mistaken. Or was it the other night? It was last Sunday. I got invited down there. I was so close, guys, but so far away. I just could not drive 2 hours up to Tampa as much as I wanted. Plus, we went to the Yankee game as well, so I wouldn't have been able to make it. We went Yankees-Twins. Yankees had a nice 5-3 win over the Twins. Both my kids got baseballs. Tyler Austin on the Twins, former Yankee, threw my stepson a baseball. And then Luke Voigt saw my little girl over there by the wall, pointed at my stepson, gave him the ball, and said, you make sure you give it to him. So that was cool, too. They both loved that. We had good opening baseball for New York the other day. We had the Mets win. We had the Yankees win against Baltimore. Looks like it's going to be a fun baseball season for both New York teams, but that's not why you're listening to the podcast. But guess what? Spring baseball means only one thing: playoff hockey. And that's why I'm excited about it all. This is like the best time of year for sports. You got the end of March Madness. As much as I'm not into basketball, you know, some of the most exciting things about sports kind of all happen at the same time. Plus, you know, you got regular basketball playoffs as well, because the NBA season kind of goes right along in line with the NHL, which is kind of funny. So what else do we have to talk about here besides the power play? We got some injuries, unfortunately. We got Valtteri Filppula out up until some point in the playoffs with that shoulder injury. It's unfortunate. But Tanner Fritz has come in, and he's looked pretty good, not going to lie. Fast guy. He was out there. He was a one-man penalty-killing machine. So I'm glad that the Islanders have someone that they could slot in and pick up some very important minutes, especially on the PK, which they've been great all year with. Tops, not tops in the league, but up there in the top couple of teams. So at least half of the special teams are doing their job, at least on a consistent basis, I should say. And then you got Michael Dal Cole finally back in the lineup. He's looked pretty good. Looking for some chemistry there, obviously, with some of his former teammates out, because Tom Kunackle's been in and out. Komarov taking dumb penalties. I mean, that's the type of guy he is. Not that he's always going to take dumb penalties, but he plays on the edge. He plays with grit. And just at certain points, man, he just... That was unnecessary to take a penalty late game like that the other day. And you could see Barry Trotz's face. He was like, come on, really? You know better than that. You're a gritty veteran. You can't do that in the playoffs, so that stuff better end now. That's all I got to say. What else? Man, just so many different things happened while I was away. One thing I do want to go into and talk about, and I'm going to be writing about this, and I kind of don't really want to talk too much about it, but I had read that the Islanders, in their support of everything for Robin Leonard here, which, by the way, the New York chapter of the Pro Hockey Writers Association nominated Robin Leonard for the Masterton Trophy, which is a great thing. Hopefully he wins. That would be great for him. For perseverance and dedication and, you know, overcoming personal stuff for hockey. So that's good for him. Such a feel-good story. I've said this all season long. But the Islanders as a team, in support of Robin Leonard, I had heard that they were abstaining from alcohol around him, just in support, you know, to keep him from uncomfortable situations. So I had reached out to the Islanders and, believe it or not, heard back confirmation. And they had told me, they didn't believe that this was out there, but they did, in fact, abstain from drinking around him. But Robin also does not put himself in comfortable situations on his own as well. So it's really great to hear that the Islanders are rallying around him. And you could see with every win, with every great, you know, with the strong play around him, how appreciative he is for his teammates, for the fans. He's had great comments about the fans at the barn and how loud it is and the support. And Andrew Gross had a great article the other afternoon in Newsday as well about how Robin is just using all the positive stuff this year, you know, to move on in his career. And he only has 2 postseason games to his credit. So this is a big year for him. It's a contract year. I'm hoping the Islanders extend him. You just hope that he can continue to play the way he does down the stretch. The Islanders have 2 of the best goaltenders here in the whole league, really. The stats on the both of them are pretty much just right in line with each other, which is great to see. But I just thought that that was amazing when you have, you know, the culture of hockey, you know, at the very roots, aside from, you know, minor league hockey, because obviously, you know, young people cannot partake in alcohol. But you look at the NHL and the involvement of sponsors and how many beer companies and liquor companies are sponsors of the league. And then you go back to some of the older commercials, that NHL commercial with the Stanley Cup, and who's front and center there drinking a beer or champagne out of the Stanley Cup? Brian Trottier. So at the grassroots of this sport, you know, and even me, I joke all the time, I play in a beer league because that's what we call men's league. It's a beer league. You know, we'll partake in a beer in the locker room or after the game in the parking lot. And I play for a brewery team. We play for Blue Point Brewery. So, I mean, we're partially sponsored as well. So even it doesn't end, you know, after the NHL, you know, and these guys, especially in the 80s and 90s, would partake in a beer in the locker room after the game. Obviously, that was before nutrition and health and everything else. But, you know, the influence and the opportunity is there. So for a guy like Robin who struggled with that, for the team to obviously, and they're adults, they have the right to enjoy themselves just like everybody else. But for them to do that and to sacrifice some stuff like that for him, that just blows me away. And it makes me so proud that I'm a fan of this team, I'm a fan of this group, and they've rallied together like that. That's just great. So good job, guys. That is just amazing. And I'll be writing a little story about that on Isles Blogger, so keep an eye out for that over the next day or so. I had a Twitter user reach out to me earlier this morning and said that I needed to bring this up. And I know Mike Carver also talked about this on one of his episodes this week, which he's been pumping out some amazing stuff. If you get the chance, head over to the Isle Seat podcast, subscribe, rate, review. He's a great guy. I've been friends with him for a really long time. Another big Yankee fan. But if you guys get approached this afternoon when you're tailgating at the Coliseum, don't sign any petitions for Elmont. That's against the Mega Mall. it seems that there's a group of people tricking people into signing this, saying it'll be good for the Coliseum, be good for the Belmont Arena. So just avoid any petitions. It's also kind of weird that the Islanders are on board with that other petition started by the sign guy. You know, you can go ahead and sign that one. That's not going to hurt anything. I know even some of the politicians have been on board with that. So if you see anybody with petitions other than that one, just skip it. I know there's also going to be some amazing tailgates today. Devin from Yes Men Outfitters is always going to be there on the Marriott side of the Coliseum under the orange tent. I know we just talked about some alcohol, but there will be some free beer by Oyster Bay Brewing Company. As always, check it out. Free. I know New York and free don't go hand in hand, and he always points that out. But it's always a good time over there. You'll probably run into some other people with some free food and just good times. I know AJ's big party bus, their RV, was over there the other day. That was on MSG, and they had some awesome fans there checking that out. So that was pretty cool as well. You never know, you might see something like that today as well. So just enjoy yourselves. Have fun. I know I'll be there. Look for me in the parking lot as well. All right, so now we're going to take some Twitter questions. I haven't done anything like this in a while. I figured we're at a really great time of the season. Exciting hockey, exciting times here down the stretch before the end of March, beginning of April. It's warm this weekend. That means playoffs are right around the corner. Should make tailgating even that much better this afternoon into the evening. But the first question is from Z-Man Isles. Rich, do you think the change in offense came from being told to shoot the puck more, and do you think it can continue? Honestly, he is Barry Trotz and Lane Lambert and, you know, the other coaching staff there, including Scott Gomez, which I know all of our opinions kind of are souring on him. But you could see the Islanders are moving the puck quickly. If they do carry it, they're carrying it into the slot, and they're making the little passes, little quick passes, taking the hit to make plays. I think that's probably more of it. Go in there, you take a hit to make a play. That's like hockey 101. I know that's what the coaches used to tell us all the time in high school. You're going to go, you're going to take the body, and what's going to happen? You're going to draw somebody over there. You maybe move the puck a little deeper. It opens up a little bit of room for everyone else when you take the hit. And, you know, Barzal did just that on the go-ahead goal. He went behind the net. He had that inside-outside move, got behind the net, took the body, dished the puck off. Eberle comes in, makes that awesome move, and boom, game-winning goal. I think they've been smarter about their shooting as well. You see the defense, and they're not holding on to the puck. You know, they're getting the puck. It's off their stick really quick. I think in the past, they've maybe been looking for the perfect opportunities to shoot, and that closes lanes. That gives the defense the opportunity, or at least the forwards on the opposition, a chance to close lanes where now they're shooting the puck. They're getting traffic to the front of the net. They're blocking the goaltending's vision, and they're able to get deflections and able to, you know, bang loose pucks, where over the last 10 or so games really hasn't happened all that much. I know Barry also has kind of mixed the lines up. It seems that the Eberle, Lee, Barzal line, if that is the line that I'm thinking of, has been generating a lot more chances, and they're definitely, they got some chemistry there. So I think that, yes, the short answer is they've definitely been told to shoot more. And you look at the shots against Winnipeg. We had 29 shots, I think, in one period. So they're definitely using the opportunities they get to shoot, especially on the power play. The power play looked the best it had been the other night. So hopefully it continues. I think that the game plan here moving forward is to play, you know, as they say, Islander hockey, and that is generating chances, shooting the puck, and limiting the opposition's chances as best they can, or at least getting Thomas Greiss and Robin Lehner the opportunity to see the puck, make the first save, get the rebound out of the dangerous areas, and just good rebound control. So yeah, it's got to continue. I 100% think that that's something that they talked about. You know, and now I have another question from Chris Wassell. And he's a longtime Twitter follower. I've met him on a bunch of occasions. He writes for Dauber Prospects and a bunch of other things. Check out his stuff at Chris Wassell DFS. Who do you trust among the defensemen most on power play one? Honestly, I think they should have Ryan Pulak and Devon Taves up there on power play one. I think between the way both of them can carry the puck, especially Devon, just gives you the best opportunity there for nice shots. They're two different defensemen that kind of complement each other. You got that howitzer from Ryan. Not to say Taves doesn't have a great shot as well. But I think they give the power play one the biggest chance to score from the point. And they've been sneaking down into the slot area a lot over the last game or so, which I think is testament to the power play turning around. They're jumping when they can, getting down low and firing from, you know, that 15 to 20 foot range where I think is the best opportunity to score from, at least for me. I love when the defenseman sneaks down low into the slot and rips a shot, and both those guys definitely can do that. So, you know, we saw that even on power play too the other night. We had, you know, Letty and Boychuk still firing the puck. I wouldn't even really mind Pelech out there because Pelech's looked very good as well. So that's a great question, Chris. Thank you. Here's one from another Twitter user, Jason Paul. What do you not like about Trotz's coaching? Wow, this is a tough one, man. Great question. I've noticed that Barry is not quick to change up the lineup. And I don't really think that's like a knock, you should say, because he did similar things there in Washington, especially with goaltending. I think he tends to go against conventional wisdom in that regard, which it's hard to really fault him because he's a great coach. So I think between some of the lineup changes where he's hesitated to reunite Eberle and Barzal, Arthur Staple and I talked about this last episode as well, you know, and he didn't see them personally play aside from, you know, the couple of times we matched up against Washington in previous seasons. So the fact it took them three quarters of the season to reunite them was a little frustrating to watch, especially with the way the offense has kind of struggled. I think the power play, they haven't really changed up the personnel there, and you kind of wonder why. But again, it's a long season. You know, he obviously has his reasons. He's the coach. We're not. We can Monday morning quarterback this all we want. But at the end of the day, obviously they are the ones that make the important decisions and they have the reasoning why. We might not agree with it or understand it, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. So yes, between the goaltending, you know, maybe we wouldn't have maybe struggled if they ran with Robin Leonard the way he's been playing over Thomas Greiss, as much as Thomas has played fantastic as well. So things like that, but that's not really it's not a knock on Barry. I think he's a fantastic coach. I'm so ecstatic that the Islanders hired him. But other than that, I mean, maybe not being involved in the power play as much coach wise, but you know, he's got his hands in everything. He's not just allowing his coaching staff to run with it. He's got to have some sort of input in meetings and everything else. He's a very, very cerebral guy from everything that I've heard. He understands the game. He thinks the game. The guy watches video every single day, you know, to the point where he stays late in the office, we've been told. So I don't, like, again, I mean, what can you really say other than maybe some of those little nitpicky things? But it doesn't really matter because he's made the changes and he needs to keep them playing at the level that they are here down the stretch. So great question. Thank you for that one. And JP in VA just chimed in. We haven't spoken to JP in a little while. We're going to have to get him back on here in another episode. He's been doing some great work for me over at islesblogger.com. I asked him a couple months ago if he would mind writing a little bit over there to keep the site more active, and he's been doing a bang-up job. So go and check out all his stuff over there on my site, which for the first time in a long time has had content there other than someone from me. So JP says, after Martin's benching, is there any chance we see Fritz or Johnston in and Matty Martz as a healthy scratch in the last four games? And what are your daughter's favorite kind of chips? Which is a joke, because if you weren't following along in my traveling home from Florida the other day, my daughter was being a nightmare in the airport because we were in Columbus for 2 hours and 15 minutes, and I was just over traveling with a toddler. Not that she's a toddler, she's five. But yes, so we'll get into that in a minute. Okay, so Martin was benched the other night. Obviously, the bench was very short, which turned into a good thing because they were rolling with the guys who had it, and maybe Martin didn't. I think I might have read that Martin might have been a little banged up. I'm not 100% sure. I think maybe Arthur had said that, or B Comp or somebody on Twitter. Obviously, from practice this morning, it doesn't seem that that's the case, so he probably was benched. But again, like I said, excuse me, like I said a minute ago, I think down the stretch here, Trotz is going to go with the guys who are going to work. So if he sees something in the game tonight or the game Monday, and in the course of practice here over the next day or so, you might see him scratched. I think the person you'll see scratched first would be Komarov, only because we've obviously seen that. Kunackle looked pretty good the other night. He obviously brings that veteran presence, the cup-winning pedigree, which is very important here down the stretch. Who knew he would be more of an acquisition for the Islanders post-trade deadline than Andrew Ladd, which we haven't even spoken about. Ladd out for the rest of the year. Wow. Didn't see that one coming. I'm being sarcastic, right? Look, I like Andrew Ladd. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a really great player. The luck he has not had on the island, it's unexplainable. And for the amount of money that he's getting paid, some decision needs to be made here over the summer. What are you going to do? But will I see Matt Martin as a healthy scratch? Potentially. I think that Dal Col and Komarov and Kunackle would probably be the three you would see over Matt. So that's a great question, JP. Thank you. And my daughter likes barbecue chips. She also likes cheddar and sour cream, but generally she'll go for the barbecue. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning when she needed to have the barbecue chips. Needed. Thanks for that. Boy, you guys are just on fire today with the questions. Jason Paul, which is at Wave Intel. Obviously, he asked me a couple questions that I just answered, but he's stoked to hear the result. Thanks for writing in. And now we have Nightvine, good friend of the show, with two questions. Number one, how is Scott Gomez still employed? I have no idea. Obviously, he is, or was, I should say, a great player. He was a good offensive threat there in his earlier careers there with the Devils. And I brought this up to Brett Sergalis a couple weeks ago. Is it because he's got the connection to Lou Lamoriello? I don't know. Maybe. Obviously, if Barry didn't want him to be a part of the coaching staff, he wouldn't be. We don't know how this is going to play out this summer. He was the only leftover, but time will tell. He obviously is a big part of the power play. You see him drawing up faceoffs and plays, once the Islanders are awarded a power play. So I don't really understand what's going on there, But again, I keep saying we can only sit and analyze what we see on the telecast or, you know, coming out in the media. So this is one of those things where I scratch my head. But will a coach help the power play? It's come out and it's been written about, I should say, that the Islanders are dealing with, you know, maybe the star power not being there or that guy, quote unquote, not really being there to kind of take the reins of the power play the way a certain 91 used to be able to do. So maybe that's why they're struggling a little bit. I think also I've said this, the Islanders consist of too many pass first guys. There's no finishers. You have Anders Lee would really be the only finisher. Brock Nelson can be that guy. Josh Bailey has shown a little bit of a shooting ability from time to time. But every single person on the power play here has been a pass-first guy for the most part. You have, aside from the defensemen, that have been shooting all over the place. So I'm happy to see Jordan Eberle starting to shoot the puck. I think that's been part of his problem here this season, struggling a little bit. You'll have opportunities for a bunch of the forwards where if they were a little more selfish with the puck, they take that split second to wait a little too long or dish off when they had a better scoring chance than whoever they passed to. And that's, I think, the biggest part about what's ailing the power play. And going back to a question a couple of questions ago, I think that they were told to shoot more. And look what's been happening. I mean, they had a 5-goal outburst or 4-goal outburst the other night. So I think that's good. It needs to continue. And we'll see what happens with Scott Gomez here in the offseason. You also, and you as a Nightvine, asks, why is Leo never held accountable? And I touched base on this a second ago as well. He was scratched earlier in the year. I think if he continues to make the plays that he is, and the plays that I'm talking about are the boneheaded penalties, he's got to be held accountable. You can't do that. You cannot, in important situations, take a lazy penalty or take a stupid interference penalty where, you know, you're holding up your guy a little bit. You're not moving your feet and you get your stick in his feet. You can't do that, especially at this point of the year. If you do that during the playoffs, what's going to happen? You're going to put your team down a man in a bad situation and potentially be playing from behind in the playoffs. And that's not where the place that you want to be. So if he is not held accountable, we're going to have a problem if he continues that, but he's a veteran guy. He needs to play smarter. And I'm sure that Barry has sat down with him and said that. I'm sure Lou has said that as well. You are a veteran guy. Make smart decisions. Otherwise you're going to sit, you're going to watch from the skybox and you're going to eat press box popcorn. All right, and we have one more question, which might be the last one we're going to have time for today, but it's from longtime Twitter follower Raul Galani. Now, Raul asks, why is there generally so little movement by the power play squad? Do they expect the defense to forget what they're doing? And I touched base on this earlier in the episode as well. It seems they do move the puck. And like I had said, it seems that they are content to pass around the perimeter, but they hold on to the puck, like we've said, a little too much, a little too often. They'll hold. Arthur and I talked about last episode. It seems like they look for the perfect plays. They want to be too pretty. They want to be too perfect. It's not about the highlight reel goals. It's about just putting the puck in net. It could be the ugliest goal in the face of the planet, in the face of the league. It's still a goal. It still puts your team up. Move the puck quick. Move it around. Work it down low. Get them to bunch up so that you open up space for the forwards that are down low. And you're not going to score from behind the net. That's why I get so frustrated when there's two guys below the goal line. You cannot, unless you're Wayne Gretzky, score from behind the net. It's just not going to happen. Yeah, okay, some fluky goals go off skates and sticks and everything when you play from behind the net like that. But all the offense should be generated north or south of the net, depending on which side of the ice that you're on. That's how things work. So quick passes. You got to pass the puck quickly. You got to move the puck quickly. And for God's sake, shoot the puck quickly. So yes, I don't really understand the lack of movement in that regard sometimes. So they need to just be smarter with the puck. And we're going to end with, they better move the puck quickly tonight against Buffalo. Thanks, Raul. All right, so lastly, if you're going to be scoreboard watching in addition to watching the Islanders and Sabres go at it tonight, you got Bruins-Panthers this afternoon at 1 o'clock. You've got Flyers-Hurricanes at 1:30, which the Flyers are still not mathematically eliminated somehow. So that's a huge game. You have the Canadiens and the Jets, so root for the Jets, obviously, tonight. You've got the Maple Leafs and the Senators, the Capitals and the Lightning, Blue Jackets and Predators. That's a big game. So there's a bunch of different things tonight that, you know, you could watch in addition to the Islanders game. But the first and foremost important thing is for the Islanders to get 2 points tonight in regulation. That's what I want. I want a regulation win. I'm going to be there. It's going to be loud. It's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be fun. I'll post some pictures from the parking lot, hopefully, and it should be a good time. So that's pretty much going to wrap it up for episode 29. I got some big stuff in store for next week. Like I mentioned, I'm going to be at the game Monday night, so we probably won't have a podcast until maybe Tuesday. But I got Mark Parrish. I spoke to him while I was in Florida, and he's going to be coming on next week 100%. So we're going to probably talk about some playoff hockey and the power play and stuff like that. We've got, you know, a bunch of things for you to do. Head on over to nyimeetups.com. Check out all the meetup groups there for different events that are happening in your area, especially here down the stretch and into the playoffs. It's a huge time of year. It's a great thing that those guys do. I've not been able to make one single event the entire year. So just head on over there and give them some support. Obviously, head over to yesmenoutfitters.com. Use the code FAITHFUL10 for 10% off your order. Devin's been cranking out some great stuff, and he recently started doing some merch for Oyster Bay Brewing Company as well. So check out all that stuff. He does a great job. Also, follow me on Twitter, at IslesBlogger, at FaithfulIsles. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Apple. We're on Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, TuneIn Radio, all sorts of different things, or places, I should say. I always mess that up. We're also on YouTube. I always post the updates to YouTube as well, so you can have another avenue to listen to the podcast there. Eventually, at some point, I will be doing some video podcasts, as much as you may not want to see my ugly mug. You have to listen to my voice. That's probably enough. Check out the rest of the Islanders podcast as well. Please give everybody some love. The Isle Seat podcast. You got the awesome podcast from Lighthouse Hockey. You got the Secondary Assist podcast. You got Hockey Night in New York. Those guys are going to be at Boss Croker's some point this week for an awesome event there. I wish I can make that one as well. They do a great job. So give all of them some love. Please rate and review us on iTunes. It would help us out a lot. It's been fun. It's been a great episode, I hope. We will speak to you soon. As always, I'm your host, Michael Sherling. This is episode 29 of the Islanders Podcast. Let's go, Islanders!